I'm Bill Donahue, born in Birmingham, 1964, so I'm getting on a bit. I lived in Birmingham till I was 18 in foster care, very good foster family that I'm still in touch with. I moved to Leicester, circumstances brought me here. I stayed in Leicester, met a girl, got a job. I did have a few skirmishes with the law as a younger person, but got a job and I got into engineering. Thankfully, it was good. It was aerospace engineering. And I stayed in that trade until 2010, where I left through injury. I skittered around a few jobs, even did a lot of festival security, because I really enjoyed it. I like festivals. Then I found myself being invited by someone I knew who had met at a festival. Why don't you come and try running a pub, Bill? I think you'd be good at it. Walked in the first day, within 2 minutes, I thought, I like this, I can do this, talk to people, I'm good at talking to people. And I had 4 good years there until the COVID pandemic started. And then it all sort of went downhill. I guess it was my, well, it was my views. The I went to the first.
Well, yeah, but it's, I mean, for a lot of publicans, I mean, obviously, this is just, they're having to close up shop, and then they're thinking, can I get some kind of compensation for this? So how did that go to begin with, Bill?
Well, fortunately, when I took the pub, I was, my wife took the franchise on, so I was an employed person, technically, even though I was the licensee. So I did get covered with the furlough, which that did help. But I'd have rather been open. And it was just all the madness that went with it. If, when we could open, you can walk in with a mask on, sit down, take it off, put it on to go to the toilet. It was ridiculous. I followed all the rules. But I did go petitioning to London at every opportunity. And because of that, I ended up in a video on one occasion by a gentleman called Will, who runs a site called GB Resistance, I think it is, and he happened to film me walking along merrily, and he says, oh, because we'd spoke before, he said, oh, how's your pub going? And I happened to mention it and where my pub was, and then after it came out, people who were like-minded to me started coming to my pub, and it was really good. We had, well, takings were good, takings went up, it was just all lovely people that just thought something was amiss.
Was this a time when the pubs were supposed to be closed or what?
No. But when the pubs were closed, when we were meant to be closed, I don't mind admitting it, I did let my customers in every day. But when the police turned up, they came 11 times, called on me 11 times, apparently. I would simply say, no, sir, these gentlemen sitting there in their bubble, show them your receipts, lads. So they've bought their beer from Aldi and they've got there some Tesco. So I'm not selling alcohol. I'm just letting these gentlemen sit in there. And officers, you didn't join the police force to stop widowers getting together at this time of age. Go out and catch some real criminals. Some of the officers were very good. Some of them took offence, but I had to remind them, it's not the law, is it? It's regulations. And I'm following your regulations.
Oh, that is fascinating. How did you get on with some of the police that agreed with you and were fine?
On one occasion, we're actually sitting outside. We had a fire going. It was winter, where they actually pulled a chair up and sat with us. At other occasions, they were trying to say that you got to disperse, but you know, the specials, I was a bit cheeky. I'd tell them, you know, go and get a dinner lady. They've got more authority than you. But I'm always courteous to the police. I'm fully on support of them. But it was ridiculous. I have to remind them, you didn't join the police to do this. You know, and it's affecting you. Get a grip. But on the whole, I never had a problem with the police. They came and they went. But, you know, obviously the neighbours next to the pub were, oh, there's something going on. I mean, I had the police come to me one time. All right, we're coming in. You had a party on here last night. I'm thinking, well, you didn't. Looking at the cameras, it was just me and my mate, one mate, but we had the music on loud and we had a beer. You know, but the neighbours report, he's got a party on. I didn't. I never sold any alcohol during the lockdown, but I did let people bring their own in because a lot of them were just old boys, you know, widowers. So we're supposed to do. That's what
I mean. I think the thing is, at that point, a lot of elderly people, particularly, were frightened and isolated.
Oh, terrible! I mean, my old dear, my foster parent, been fostered by her 51 years, too scared to see me at Christmas. You know, because the rest of the family followed the narrative hook, line, and sinker. When I saw them the other week, the surprise: what, you didn't have any injections? Well, no, and I've been abroad. They've just, you know, they've all had the infection, but they've all been, you know, jabbed. It's amazing. And they still really now don't want to shake hands with me. I mean, I should be more afraid of them. It was, yeah, what they did to kids. But it's like when I was letting customers come in during the lockdown, the undertaker come past one day. The undertaker's 200 yards from me and says, come in and have a chat with these. And he did. But he said, as long as no one's recording it. And he told us it was, he didn't understand it. He was burying people that had hung themselves, but they were stamped as COVID. You know, it's crazy. And look, I said to him, I said, I used to see your hearse every day. I hardly see it. Says, it ain't happening. I expected them to dig the Central Park over in Syston to bury the dead the way they threatened us. But it was soon apparent it was, weren't right, was it?
No. Well, you're quite right. It was a very bizarre, and I think a lot. You know, for me as a journalist, I've been reporting for years on the research of people like Dr. Andrew Wakefield, who had been linking the MMR vaccine for children with things like autism. And you know, whether you agree with him or not, it certainly must be reported, yeah. These links and. It wasn't just him. There were various bits of evidence that actually the profit motive of the pharmaceutical industry was so powerful that it was lobbying governments to give them basically a free pass and to ignore much of the safety concerns of doctors like Wakefield. And the other thing is, you know, I'm quite well versed in the way the press works, and I could see that he was being character assassinated. And I'm thinking, well, why is this? You know, surely this guy is entitled to his opinion. You know, a second opinion, if you want, is normal when it comes to doctors. And there was a very definite attempt to steer the discussion. In other words, not to allow journalism to take place, not to allow a debate, not to allow. Other opinions. And I think if we look back on it now, I mean, we're seeing in August 2023 a lot of discussion about a large rise in excess deaths. Well, largely that's because people were afraid to go to hospital because they thought they would catch COVID there. Whether they would or not is another question. And also, of course, potentially some of these deaths are due to side effects of this untested, well, it's virtually untested, vaccine, which the companies that are manufacturing it won't even tell you what's in it, because they say it's all commercially confidential. So anyway, lots and lots of problems with it all. But just tell us where your pub is. Just give us an idea of whereabouts you are, because I think if I'd have been living near you, I'd have probably been around there quite a bit.
Well, I'm not there now because I was kicked out of there last April. After a contentious argument about it, which I'm still in the court.
So this argument was with who? The brewery?
Yeah.
So can you just tell us what led up to that?
I can. I was going, like I say, I was petitioning the government in London. I even had my own board. Basically, it was a picture of different sort of pints of beer. The message was, if you close the pubs, you lose the soul of England. And just a bit of banter on the bottom I'd put in because of what was going on in America. Small writing, but enough people could read and get a giggle. Black landlords matter. So I got, you know, I had a good post. And I was going there and I was encouraged at first by the brewery managing director. But then some of the locals, I guess some people who I'd looked after through the lockdowns, didn't like this new wave of three free-thinking people coming into the pub, if you like. And then I was made aware by someone who I didn't really know. Says, oh, there's a witch hunt about you. The person who works for you is actually getting people locals to write in and say that you're running a cult, Bill. So obviously then I inquired it with the brewery. They denied it, but then they're calling me in and saying, by the way, you're out of a job.
Hang on, because this sort of thing is pubs are all about rumours, aren't they? People will gossip all sorts. You know, some of it is true and some of it isn't.
Yeah. But even the last week before he called me in and said, you're not going to be the manager then anymore, he texted me to say what a fantastic week he'd had, you know, taking-wise.
This is the irony, how were you finding that business was up then because of some of your views and you were attracting customers?
Yes, definitely. Definitely. Yeah. I mean, I only live around the corner from the pub still now, and there's no one there. Anyone who embraces any venue that embraces this movement of people who think there's something wrong, drastically wrong with the way that this once great country is being pushed into a different system, will do well, because there's a lot of people who think there's something amiss, and I wouldn't mind the people coming. The only thing they weren't doing was the old ladies weren't actually knitting. You know, it was a real broad spectrum of every generation, every class, and every race. It was brilliant. I mean, the best thing that the COVID years were probably the best years I had for meeting real good people. You know, with a care for not just themselves, humanity in itself. You know what I mean? They're just really good people. But out of it, thankfully, because we were meeting and people were coming, people just turning up, you're seeing in the video, come in. Out of it, we started doing yellow boards with messages that you could read over 20 boards as you drove past on the major junctions in Leicester. Then obviously the stand in the park, things started. I believe it started in Australia, then came to St. Albans, and then we still do it now every Sunday morning, different parks all over the country. People meet at whatever time they've arranged in their own groups. We meet at 10 o'clock every Sunday. And also out of it, we've formed some, what we call the Tribe of Leicestershire. We've got our Telegram page, and they are on Facebook. And we go into the city centre most weekends with a gazebo, and we've recently raised enough funds that we've got a TV screen that we can put up and put messages out, such as Andrew Bridgend and all the doctors, and like Avi Yebi when he was chasing down the Pfizer boss. And we hand out leaflets. I mean, 2 years ago, 50% of the people walking past screaming abuse at us nutters. Don't get any of that now. We get more people coming up going, oh, yeah, wish I hadn't took it. Oh, yeah, my mum got ill, or my dad this and that. But I don't know if they're any good. There are people out there who are saying there's things you can do to help yourself detox from this. We just handed this out. Have you heard of a newspaper called the Light Newspaper?
Well, yes. Yeah. I mean, I was one of the moderators on their Telegram channel, but they booted me off just before the Bilderberg meeting because this is Darren and his partner, because I was criticising this guy, Richard D. Hall, who, as a professional journalist, I could see that what he was doing was totally wrong by saying the Manchester Arena bombing never happened and that the families of the victims were making it up. I mean, this is just not at all good. Anyway, so they very much supported him. I think that it's interesting you mentioned the Light, because I think during the pandemic, the Light was actually a bit of a light in the darkness, and there was some very good stuff. But then they've sort of lost their way, I think, afterwards. They had an article back, I think it was in February this year, all about how nuclear weapons don't exist. And the thing is, they've got a big thing across the top of the paper saying this is the real truth, you know. So they've basically, I think, gone the way of the mainstream press, and they're starting to mix up some very good stuff with total and utter nonsense. So
losing the credibility with that. It's a show. Well, I'm glad you told me that. Unfortunately, we do hand that out there with lots of other flyers, and we also have a lot of speakers come down to the clock tower and talk about different things like the 15-minute cities. You know, some people listen, some don't. But
sounds absolutely brilliant, particularly the idea that you're able to show videos, because we're not seeing anything on our television. I mean, there's some brilliant stuff on social media if you go looking for it. But anyway, sounds to me like there's a sort of a little bit of an underground network to do with Stand in the Park. How do people, if people are listening and they want to contact something in their area, you've told us about Leicester and around Leicester. What's the best way to get onto this network?
Oh, let me have a think.
Is it just simply because, like you say, the Stand in the Park things are still around, aren't they?
Yeah, Stand in the Park. So, I mean, I don't know how widespread they are in the country, but there's quite a few around the Leicester area. There's lots, to be fair. I would look for the Stand, but maybe Stand in the Park as a search engine, or certainly if you go to the Tribe of Leicester on Telegram, they'll be able to direct you to other places.
Oh, okay, brilliant.
We started that. We're also trying to think who organised the first sort of petition. It was Save Our Rights was the first sort of people who's been down London, weren't
they? That's right. Yeah, I was just chatting to Louise Creffield the other day, and she's had her bank account closed, funnily enough, just like Julian Assange. Nigel Farage. Sorry, a bit of weird Freudian slip there. But anyway, look, let's go back to your pub for a minute. I know you've left it now, but where was it? It'd be interesting for people to keep an eye on it, especially since you're saying that the custom has gone right down, because who knows, maybe it's just simply a ruse. The brewery might decide that actually they want to sell it off for housing or something.
Oh, no, it's not a case of that. It's definitely a case of, but I don't particularly want to promote that pub. But I can say where we meet now as a group is only 500 yards away from my pub. And we now meet at the Syston Social and District Club. And that's where our Freedom Fest is on, not this weekend, next weekend. Well, I wish I can't find the flyer. I'm going to fly to tell you it's on.
No, that's okay. If you just tell us where and when it's on, that'd be lovely.
It's on. Next weekend. So I think that's the 10th, 11th, 12th and 13th, 11th, 12th and 13th of August at the Syston Social District Club, which is in Syston, which is in LE7, Leicestershire. But if you go on to the Telegram, there is camping available down at the Gate Hangswell pub, which is about half a mile away. It's in walking distance. Yeah, that's where we are. We meet there. Well, we have a, because we formed a band at the pub, and they still practice. And it was good of the Syston and District to take us on, because, you know, there was the rumours around this, because obviously, like, around Syston, the nutter down there doesn't wear a mask. I wouldn't wear a mask only in the shops. In fact, I used to walk around wearing a latex sheep's head. I thought I probably shouldn't have, but I just wouldn't help myself, you know.
Okay, so you've talked a little bit about your group. I mean, many people will look at it and say that you're right wing conspiracy theorists, Bill. How would you answer? I mean, I'm sure you get some people who see you in the park and think, well, look, this looks like a bunch of loonies. How would you answer those people?
Well, I don't think we've ever been accused of being right-wing, conspiracy theorists maybe, but less so now. I mean, every time I'm talking to people now, anyone who's actually gone down that line, you know, most of them are saying to me, I wish you hadn't done it, Bill. So the tide's turning, the opinion's turning. I don't think I'm a conspiracy theorist. I think, you know, I'm definitely not that. Just a critical thinker. And it just didn't. Well, look, I'm a type 1 diabetic. I get the amount of texts I had telling me, come and get your jab. But, you know, touch wood, I'd rather rely on my God-given immune system. I just didn't want to take it, if that makes me a conspiracy theorist. And, you know, it was the evidence out there. I might as well have wore some chicken wire as that, a mask, as good as the masks were. You know, having talked to The Undertaker, that sealed it for me, mate. There's no one dying, Bill, not in the numbers. But there are now, surprisingly, aren't there? There's more above average deaths this week than there were during the COVID lockdown, but they don't want to talk about that.
I mean, you as a publican were providing an absolutely amazing service, it seems to me, there. And there is another aspect to all of this, and that is that when the TV, the radio, the newspapers are lying to us, as it definitely seemed that they were, I mean, to me, looking at the enormous amount of, it was almost like an advertising campaign, which built up to the selling of these jabs. I mean, that's what it seemed to me to be going on. And there wasn't, a discussion was being shut down, literally shut down. I mean, our radio show was shut down here in Bristol. And so the pubs, are usually in that sort of situation, the pubs are where everyone gathers to say, well, what the hell is going on? What can we do about it?
Yeah, that's why they shut them down. Same with the churches. You know, don't get people together. Yeah, but it was mad. I mean, even during it on a Friday, people would know they could come down and sit on the pub benches at my pub, bring their beers, sit in their own groups, and but still say, well, why don't you just take it, Bill? Because, well, I don't want to, you know, but forget. It's a bit disappointing, really.
What we're seeing, really, at COVID pandemic has accelerated the closure of British pubs. We're seeing this all over the place now as the pubs are closing. So, what's going on?
And small businesses, well, they don't want you out drinking. They want you out sitting in your little pod on cheap beer from the off license with your thing strapped to your head and everything's there to coming to you. Yeah, it's small. I was talking to a small business in Melton Mowbray. They upholstery and furniture is had to close. He says even the bigger firms are closing, Bill. So what's a little firm like me going to do? You know, people haven't got the money. They've had their focus switched from COVID, and most of them just don't want to admit, yeah, you know what, the emperor didn't have any clothes on, but I'm too embarrassed to say it. But now we're going to support an endless war and probably our own destruction. They switched them like that. But the frightening thing for me really was, I spoke to Red Pill Phil last night. He gave us a call. The frightening thing for me was it was so close to a few more percent had gone along with that madness that we'd have all been locked up, the ones of us who didn't take it. We were that close to, you can see how Germany fell under a Nazi spell. Too many people go along with it, and all of a sudden, we'll better agree or I'm the odd one out. People were cowards. They forgot.
Well, yes, that's true. I don't want to call it on twice. It's really interesting. A lot of this has happened to the generation, just as the generation that can remember World War II are dying. And I can remember the big demonstration in Stroud, organised by Debbie Hicks, chatting to a lady who, she was a child during World War II, and she said it didn't get this bad even during the war.
Well, that's what I said. Yeah. They didn't close the pubs during the war. And you mentioned Debbie Hicks. Debbie Hicks has been up and talked for us at the Clock Tower at our Saturday stands, the Tribe of Leicester. We've had her up, and she's also at the festival on the 11th, 12th and 13th in Syston. So here we go, Freedom Fest. So Friday the 11th to Sunday the 13th of August. Speakers we have on, Ian Jarvis, Dr. Muhammad Ali, he's a censored doctor, replatformed. Dr. Joe Whittaker, Jasmine, voice of the awake youth.
Is there a website that people can go to if people aren't on the Telegram groups or whatever to find that?
www.frpromotions.co.uk.
Okay, Bill Donahue, thanks ever so much for talking to us.
Well, thank you for having me on.
And also what we'll do is, because I know you're going through an employment tribunal with the brewery, well, we'll be in touch with you when you've had a result with that and see how you get on, because it sounds to me as if it's a bit of an open and shut case of unfair dismissal. But we'll see how you get on. Best of luck with it.
I've already been in, and I can say I lost at the moment. I'm just hoping I can get an appeal. Can I just tell you a few more acts that we've got on the Freedom Fest? Debbie Hicks,
go for it,
Steve Barlow, Jonathan Tilt, Harry Rhodes, Dave Voice, Fiona Rose Diamond, but we've got lots of musical acts on as well. If they look on the site, we've got a lot of good musical acts on over the weekend, and there is camping. It's £30 for the weekend or £10 for the day. It's good food on, and it's lots of awake people who want to talk to anyone who wants to know.
Okay, Bill Donahue, thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you very much.